Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
The jury trial started April 1st at 9:30 a.m. at the Ada County Courthouse in Boise, Idaho. They started a little later this morning than supposed to. It's my understanding it's supposed to start at 9 a.m. and go until 4 for jury selection and 8:30 to 3:30 for trial. However, today started at 9:30, and usually Judge Boies does start a little bit later than what's posted. Now, they did two rounds today. They did a full round and then they had a break in the afternoon and continued with the second round. Now, they did something called voir dire, which the simplest definition is the questioning of potential jurors during the jury selection process. And the questioning is primarily done by the attorneys to prospective jurors from the jury pool, although the judge may also ask jurors the questions, which is what happened. And basically, it's just a weeding out process. And last week, the jurors were given a questionnaire, and they were filling out things like, would this be a hardship if you were to fulfill your duty as a juror? Have you watched media? In what capacity? Are you related to anybody, to the defendant or the attorneys, or is there a civil action? What's your opinion on guilty or not guilty about Chad Daybell? And are you willing or unwilling to follow the judge instructions? And do you have any religious or moral positions on the matter that would cause you to not be impartial, and any other reason? Now, first up was Rob Wood, part of the prosecution. And he mentioned having it be very important to have brutal honesty in this process. He said that this trial deals with the death of two minor children and a mother, and the evidence can be hard to look at. And then it was Lindsay Blake, also part of the prosecution, and she gave an analogy and talked about how her kid has a specific recipe he likes that's cheesy eggs and is certain ingredients and doesn't like to stray from the recipe. And she said the judge is gonna outline it just like that in a certain way, and you may question it, but this is the recipe and the instruction that you have to follow. Her analogies were quite clear. And she also gave an analogy about rain and likened it to circumstantial evidence. She said, if the blinds are closed in the house and you go outside and everywhere is wet, do you think it's raining? That's the gist of it anyways. Now, the prosecution has the burden of proof, which means that it requires a party, which is the prosecution, to produce evidence to establish the truth of the facts needed to satisfy all the required legal elements of the dispute, which are the charges that Chad Daybell is facing. Now, he's charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder, also 3 counts of conspiracy to commit murder, and also he's charged with grand theft by deception on Tylee and JJ, and also he is charged with insurance fraud for Tammy Daybell. He collected $430,000 for Tammy Daybell's death. He upped it to the max from the minimum before her death, and he decided, you know, with the money he collected, to go to Hawaii and live off that with his new wife after 2 weeks he married her. Now, they talked about entering an agreement, which would be the conspiracy, really, and it's two or more persons to enter an agreement in an act, right? But John Pryor came up and said, is it an agreement if someone was tricked into it? So this is interesting that he, you know, put that little bit in there. Now, in the first round of voir dire, or the questioning, there were 2 excused right away, 1 female and 1 male. And those were basic reasons of hardship, vacation reasons, and being an executor of the estate. Then they moved on to individual questioning. And in that round of the first set of jurors, Two females and two males were then excused, and seven females remained and seven males. Here's some interesting notes about the day. Here's a quote by John. He said, "People are watching and getting an impression about me." And he was talking about the media and it being streamed. I thought that was funny. And out of all those jurors, though, two stood out to me in round one. One stood out in how John talked to the juror, in my opinion. And another that was a really interesting angle by John when talking to the potential juror, and one I think he's going to be sprinkling throughout the trial, which is juror 27. Her father is a retired police officer. John went at length about being swayed and that not just general people could be swayed, but perhaps authorities as well. And he asks, what if they have an agenda in advance? And she answers in saying police officers' role is to investigate facts and report the facts. But he was pushing a little too much and too long about authorities having a bias, again, in my opinion. But Lindsay Blake, right after, from the prosecution, she asked to approach the bench. And then next on juror number 146, she has five kids and runs a daycare. And John was interesting with her out of all of them that day, I feel. Like the way he talked to her was almost condescending, in my opinion. He mentions her kids' age, which was from 4 to 17. He says, "Please forgive me, but I don't even know how you can even stay awake." Now, normally that would be a regular statement, but it was the way he was saying it. It wasn't like, "Oh, girl, whew, like those five kids, I can't imagine." It was almost like talking down to her, I feel. He also said that he's concerned about her not being able to focus and not worry about her children. But he says this, "If I was worried about my children, I wouldn't be here. I'm amazed you're able to do all that." It's like, yeah, we are human. We are mothers. If we have five children, we can deal with it. Obviously, she is. I don't know. I just feel...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I just feel that was, it was just weird. Out of all them, he's talked to other women, didn't talk like that, but with this woman, he did. Did you catch this? If you were watching, let me know below. Now, another juror, number 321, who was male, John went at length about his kid being in baseball and how he's going to miss it and these milestones, and talked about emotion and raising a child and how it's a hardship. And you could hear the jurors say like, yeah, I understand that, but I don't call it a hardship. And the judge tells John to basically get to the point. And for some reason, John just wanted this juror gone or something. What do you think? Did you see that? It was oddly lengthy. Lindsay also asked to approach the bench regarding another juror when John was talking about agreements. And she said she feels like John is misstating the law and confusing the elements, which was interesting. And the judge said that he's also concerned that John is going outside the scope. And also, side note, he was taking a long while. The judge basically says, move on to another topic. But John answered and he said, quite frankly, like he usually does, quite frankly, he says, I should be allowed to ask them how would they interpret an agreement and instructions. But that was John being John. And I mean, the first round literally took 5.5 hours minus lunch. And then the second round was half of that. And it's mostly from John talking. I'm not being biased. It just is. Now, some curious jobs out there that they were talking about. One potential juror had a bachelor's degree in religion and was an interviewer for children. Another one had forensic accounting experience. So that was interesting too. Now, Lindsay objected to John also referring to the prosecution team as these four prosecutors. I caught that and highlighted it before Lindsay addressed it, but this was the full sentence that alarmed me. John said, these four prosecutors apparently have an opinion. And so she caught it, which was awesome. Now, round two was much more concise, much faster. Like I said, the first round was 6 hours long minus lunch, while round two was about 3 hours. Now, my thoughts about it, it's as if John was grooming the jurors, quite honestly. I feel like there was a manipulation by him. Not to say that he didn't have valid questions to ask, because he did. He had valid questions. He was sensitive to most people, except for that girl, I want to say, and the guy with the baseball. He was hard on that guy. But he notably would say things like, oh, I remember from my recollection, you do this, this, and this to the jurors. And I think that he has an incredible memory if that's what happened there. To one more point about John, what's really weird is I don't see the prosecution. There were four of them. There was one gentleman that I'm not familiar with, and I obviously will get familiar with, but I don't remember him from Lori's. But there's four of them that were sitting there today from the prosecution, and then just John sitting beside Chad, who, by the way, wore a blue tie today and not his murderous red one, but he does like to wear that. And I think that's just the wrong choice to wear when you're at a murder trial. Just my two cents. Let me know what you think there. But it was blue today, and he just sat there like a lump. Now, the judge actually, after lunch, maybe he had a little siesta, because he actually made a joke all day, and I was like, oh, he jokes. One juror said that he has a nephew's wedding to go to sometime, I think it was in June or something, and the judge joked, well, can they move the wedding a couple of months, as a joke. I thought that was funny. I've never seen Judge Boyce really joke, I don't think. Maybe before, but anyway, it was fun. Now, because they did two rounds of this jury selection, I feel like maybe this is going to be done by the end of the week, because tomorrow they got a whole lump more new people. But it's interesting. Now, I wrote it down. They had, okay, let me see. In round one, they excused one female, one male right away. And then during the questioning, seven females stayed, seven males stayed, two females left, and two males left. So three in total on each side, both male and female left, and 14 stayed, so seven and seven. And then in round two today, five were questioned and stayed, and five were questioned and stayed, and total of three excused and three excused. So in total, we have 24 on each side, right? 12, seven, yeah, 12, and 12. 12 females, 12 males, and six went home, six went home. So it's interesting how it's very balanced. I don't know enough about that part, so maybe they did that on purpose to keep it even Steven. What do you think? Ah, that's funny. I just made a joke because the judge is Steven Boyce. Ooh, it's been a long day. I've been going since 8 o'clock, and as of the time of this recording, I think it's 7 o'clock. So we're in it to win it. They're starting tomorrow at 9 a.m., so I will be following that. If you haven't seen the video I did yesterday of things you need to know before trial, check that out here. Check out the 250 videos that I have on the case up here. Although I might put right here the must-view videos in the case. And then down below, there's different playlists with Charles Vallow and, you know, Melanie Pawlowski. How come we haven't seen her get in trouble? And all that. So thank you so much for watching. We'll see you on day two.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.